Well, we're back in our subject again. We're looking at avoiding tragedy. It covers a lot of things here that we're looking at. It should be to most of us just a lot of common sense things that we've learned over the years about the Word of God and following the Word of God. Now, the last time we met, we had from James, and I looked at James and James talking about the tongue, and that's really a biggie there, dealing in the areas of what we say. There's some things that, I don't know, eventually I've been sort of meditating on the area. The Lord's been dealing with me about doing some writing on the areas of dealing with the subject of faith, because when most times when people deal with the subject of faith, they just talk about believing. And that's only one part of faith. Believing in itself may produce nothing for an individual. You can believe something is good, but there's three parts of faith. There's believing, there is saying, and then there's doing. And if you don't put the three parts together, it don't work. And so learning to do that. We're going to talk about, because we're dealing with the areas of the tongue, and we looked at things that James said. The misuse of the tongue can cause a whole lot of trouble and can cause a lot of problems. But then again, the tongue can be an enormous blessing to us. And so we want to use and learn to use to walk in, especially walk in the light of the Word of God, using our what we believe in our hearts, and we begin to say with our mouth to bring those things to pass. You know, in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, in teaching areas of faith, is the fact of believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. Jesus said you would have what you say. When it's a powerful thing, because in the 24th verse of that chapter, it talks about of praying. So whatever, you know, we ask when we pray. Now that word ask there also can mean, in fact, King James uses it translated the thing you desire, because that word can mean desire. It can also mean to require, what you require. When you're actually, what you're doing is when you, and really I like the word sort of require best in its usage for faith, because faith, you have to know what the will of God is. So you have to know God gave you whatever it is you're going to ask, so that it belongs to you. In other words, the thing that you require that God gave you. Think about that. The things, that's what we're doing. We are praying and requiring of God what He said He had given to us. So we're coming up and are asking, or the thing we desire is what we're requiring of Him. That's what we're doing. And so it's a wonderful thing. Now we're going to look at tonight in a little bit different direction. We're going to look at Luke, the 6th chapter, and we're going to look at some things that Jesus said, and again, we're going to look at some things that we can find with people, the problems we can have, or the blessing, and so we don't want to cause ourselves problems, and we're going to look at an area where people have really done some things that cause themselves some major problems, and Jesus is going to deal with this area. Now, in Luke, the 6th chapter, we're going to find that Jesus is going to be speaking. He's going to be talking about, really, a good man and an evil man. He's going to be talking about two different things. He starts off giving an illustration in verse 43 we're going to look at. In verse 43, he uses an illustration. He says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." He says, then verse 44, "For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." So he's giving the illustration, which I'm sure was very easy for people to understand. And we need to know that this illustration, and you know, just the way God, we need to understand, it's the way God created earth and things operate. They are types and shadows of the principles of the kingdom of God. Understand, everything that we see or have in this earth that's created, it has come from the spirit realm. This is the temporal realm. You're living in the temporal realm. The temporal realm was created from the spiritual realm. This is not the eternal thing. This is not eternal. And you need to get that. See, too many people, it's very hard for them to understand spiritual things, because people deal with the earth. See, when we turn around and believe that, well, you know, an evolution, in other words, this has been going on for billions of years and it's going to go on forever, and this is, you know, things are going to go on. Well, you believing that way, you believe in this being the eternal. And see, that's what they're doing. So the devil wants you to believe. The devil is going to do everything he can to keep you from believing that you're a spirit being. He doesn't want you to understand the spirit realm. That's what he doesn't want you to know. That's why he loves religion, because religion is based on natural stuff. It's all natural things. You do this nice thing over here, and you're already get brownie points for this, and you get, you know, you'll all be all right. You know, who needs somebody dying for your sin? You know, basically, you're a good person. You know, those kinds of things. But here we have an illustration. It's just like in the natural, if you have trees, a bad tree doesn't put out good fruit, and a good tree doesn't put out bad fruit. So in other words, what something is what it's going to put out. He said, every tree is known by its fruit. Now in verse 45, he says this, a good man, so he's going to illustrate it. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Now understand this. Good is of the heart. And we're going to find evil is of the heart. Now remember when God spoke to Samuel, when he went and told Samuel, I want you to go to anoint a king for Israel for me. And when David's oldest brother was brought before him, he said, no, he said, that's not the guy. Samuel thought, this got to be the guy. He looks good. See, the outward appearance is great. This guy's big, good looking, you know, he's built. Hey, he's that guy that ought to be king. And God says, no, I don't judge by outward appearance. I judge by the heart. See, this is what Jesus is talking about here. God don't judge by outward appearance. He's judging by the heart. Whether a person's good or not is the condition of their heart. See, most people judge by the outside. They judge by people on the outside. There's all kind of people that are judged as good people that are going to be lost for eternity. The people have said they're a very good person. They do nice things. But God don't judge by the outward. He judges by the heart. In other words, there is fruit being put out. And so we find here, a good man is out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For now listen, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What is in a person's heart in abundance is going to be eventually what they say. Now, when we think evil, we think somebody just cursing and saying bad things. There are so many people today in the eyes of God who are terribly wicked and evil because they're talking sickness and disease all the time. They're all talking all kind of junk all the time. They're talking calamity all the time. It's all they do. Talk trouble. My word, look at the news media kicking, but shut up. It's full of evil. But see, we don't think it's evil. Well, they're telling it just the way that it is. See, out of the, what's in your heart, what you get full of in your heart, that's going to come out. And understand, it's not just, you know, somebody saying bad things to somebody. Just the fact that we're talking curse. We talk curse constantly, people talking curse. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. You'd never know it in the church world. You'd never have an idea that we would be redeemed. People are talking the curse all the time. Constant. You know, I thought about this. There's a minister, I was thinking about this today, and well, yesterday and today. Well, I was going over and studying these things because there was a minister, started a wonderful ministry and things, and it was really good, but he got over, I don't know where he got out of left field, but he turned around and I guess he started considering himself a prophet. I don't know if he was or not. I don't, at least he put out a book and he was supposed to be prophesying about the future, and his book was based on the future, was the fact of America was going to be destroyed and all the Christians in America were going to die with this thing, and America is going to be destroyed, and all these, you know, atomic war and all this stuff is going to happen. And, you know, it's funny, he said that. I thought about that. I thought, you know, he got over in that thing. He started talking things. Now, number one, I know how he got it. He started watching what was going on in the earth happening naturally. And so he began to speak accordingly. See, this is how this stuff happens. People begin to speak accordingly to what they see. This is one thing as I learned about being led with the Spirit. Can't go around confessing about what you see. because you might end up believing it, and it ain't, even though it looks good, it ain't right. See, all these people run around confessing Trump was going to be the next president. It wasn't right. But they got that in their spirit because they kept saying it. Wasn't God? God didn't put it in. I kept questioning God. God, why don't I have it in my spirit that Trump's going to... See, I didn't run around confessing Trump was going to be the president. I didn't run around confessing because something inside of me wasn't right. When I'd hear all these guys prophesying about Trump being the next president, see, I couldn't go around talking that because I had no assurity in me that that was the right thing to say. But see, people look at what they think is good and they walk around and they get to believe things they believe is good, but it's really not what God wants. We need to be very careful about these areas. The Christian life is about living out of your heart. I mean, my God, we ought to be blindfolded or something. You need to different. Remember, we're talking a life of faith, which is an unseen realm. If what you're believing you can see, you don't have a bit of faith. None. If you can see it, what would you need faith for? We're believing for the things we can't see. That's what we're believing. So we need to get ourselves over into that area and into that thinking. So in other words, we find here, it's out of the abundance of this treasure. So in other words, the treasure that's in us are the things we put in us, good or bad. Now see, we got born again, praise God, that's a good thing. Hallelujah! But you need to understand, but even as a Christian, I can put things, whatever I treasure is what I'm going to put into my heart. See, I've watched over the years, I've watched good Christians end up way out in left field, way out messed up people. Because there's things they treasured and they kept putting it into them and putting it into, and it led them off. They began to talk those things. And you know what? You're going to follow your mouth. You're going to follow your mouth. And so, and understand it. See, people wonder, how does this happen? I don't understand. What's it? You're following your mouth. Following your mouth. And understand, because Jesus said, look what Jesus said here about these ones. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his which one? The guy evil or good? In other words, what's being put out is what is in his heart, what is in him is what's going to be put out. That's what's being pumped out. Whatever's done in abundance, good or bad. And so it's really important that we understand that that principle. You know, I get around sometimes around certain people. You get around sometimes and they're talking. I know with the things with over this COVID thing, I really would have a hard time being around a lot of different people because they're just always, they were just over on this COVID, this sickness all the time. And I ain't going there. I am not going to that place. I am not visiting that. You know, our land and what has happened in America is the church didn't shut up any more than the world did. We've been murderers, killing people with our mouths, running, helping the devil bring on us junk. You see, people don't see that. They don't see it. It's out of the abundance. Your mouth starts speaking that stuff. I was listening. I've been going over a series that Kenneth Hagin taught back numbers of years ago. But anyhow, one of the things that he discussed there and he talked about, he was talking about when he was out in field ministry, he went to a church, and at that church, the pastor of the church had a really severe heart attack, and they thought he died. But anyhow, some other ministers got together and they started praying for this guy, and the doctors sort of said, oh, if he comes back, he ain't going to be right. He had lack of oxygen for too long and all that. Well, after a number of days, he snapped out of it and he was completely fine. Well, the doctors had these, you're going to have problems with this and that. You know how they are. They just because see the 27 other people. Now remember this, whenever you go to a doctor, he throws you into the pow of non-believers.
That's right.
So when he tells you how things are going to work out for you, he's telling you based on how everybody else and all the sinners and how what don't work for them. And so he's going to tell you that. Now you have a choice. You can either start walking in that city. I learned a long time ago. I sit and smile and say, yeah, and go home and decide what I'm going to do.
Amen.
You need to understand that. You're thrown in the studies with all the people who don't believe a thing, and you know, everybody else is going to die, and because grandpa had this problem, you're going to have it. And they don't realize they're going to have it because he got the same devil grandpa had. Spirits follow families. And that's why you got to watch it. And you get saved, the same spirits that you had trouble with try to come back on you again. They'll try to come back. Familiar spirits in the Bible. When a spirit, you know, it leaves, it goes and can't find any rest. It comes back to the house. It always will. Always try to come back in. And the average person will let it in. The average person lets it back. Now you're like, See, I don't know what in the past was or what it is, but it ain't coming back. We ain't going there. We need to use our authority. But anyhow, he talked about the fact. But he said the wife would constantly speak negative of her husband. Everything, you know, that, oh, you know, you're just going to have trouble. Just all the time, just harping him about, you know, because of what the doctor said, and just would not shut up and shut up. And Kenneth Hagin said the pastor had to go do a certain thing and stuff. He had to be out of the house, and he was at the house with the wife, and he said they were doing dishes. And he was helping her with dishes. And he said, the Holy Spirit came on him. And at first, he had said to her, he said, if you don't quit nagging your husband, he's going to be dead in 2 years. And she really got mad at him. She got furious. He said, look, he said, this isn't me talking. This is the Holy Ghost. And he said, you're either going to listen to it. Well, I'll tell you what, in 2 years he died. She didn't shut up. She kept hounding and nagging till after about wore him down. Wouldn't you shut up? See, you have what you say. See, you can, this is people. People need to understand these things. They don't. People just don't get what their mouth does. The power in their mouth. You know what? She had an evil mouth, and she's a murderer. And man, there's a lot of those out there today. There's a lot of dead people, because there's other people who would not shut up. See, we don't like to deal with these kind of things. You don't hear this stuff. Now, I know you don't go hear this stuff in the churches. They don't go preach this stuff because you don't get a lot of checks doing this. You know, they don't send a whole bunch of them. And, you know, you can't buy many airplanes preaching this. You'll have to believe God for them. But see, people don't, the danger, the power, now I want you to understand this. We're talking about that. What if we use our tongue for life? If it is so powerful over on that side, how powerful it is concerning life. Amen. But the majority of the time, it's a shame the tongue's used for death. It's used for death. And it's really a shame, is what people, and that's why it's so important of what we treasure or put into us. Everybody has all the time. You know, I watch it. I really feel bad for young people today in the church world because you can't get adults to shut up. You can't get in the church world today. And I've heard this over the years so much. And I mean, to me, sometimes I would sit ministerial things and I would just almost want to scream and say, why don't you guys just shut up? They would, oh, young people just have it so hard today and just trying to follow God and it's so tough. They're confessing they ain't going to make it. The leaders of the church confess God ain't big enough. No, they have it so hard today. You can't get them to shut up. They don't get with it. And these are the faith people do this. I've sat with the faith people and listened to this. And listen to this nonsense over and over. Pastors saying this stuff. And you just want to say, can we cast the devil out of you right now? It's no harder to be a Christian today than it ever was. It was never a popular thing. If you were going to really follow God, there's always going to be plenty of people and Christians who are going to be mad at you. But it's number one, God is not big enough to give our teens in victory. He ain't big enough. Nope. What's going on in the world is too tough. It's too hard. The condition of young people today in the church is the leadership's fault. They have talked this thing. They treasured in their heart this trash they've been talking. And they just pep it up and kept it up. And they treasured it and said it and said it till it's destroyed the youth. They talk it and they talk it and they talk it. And see, if they don't understand, it's about what you're saying. What were, are you speaking words of life? Are you speaking words of death? Which is going on? There's one of the two. And you know what? They're going to bear fruit. They are going to bear fruit. They're going to. And so people understand it. I'm not talking about just saying positive things. This is about something that's in your heart that you're saying. It's one of the, if there's things in your heart you don't like, learn to keep your mouth shut about them till you get that changed. Don't run around and blabbing it. So I say, as people say they want to give you a piece of their mind, say, no, keep it. You're going to need all you can get. You don't give none of it away. You don't want to do that. Hallelujah. That's why it's confessing, you know, what the Word of God continue. Now, Jesus says this. Now, listen, this is Jesus speaking. Now, these people around him. Now, he says, verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Now, I want you to think about this, because our whole basis of being born again is confessing Jesus as Lord. And here's what Jesus said. In other words, if you're not going to do what I said, this lordship don't mean a thing. This is a nothing. See, we need to understand, if Jesus is Lord, then we need to listen to what he says and do it. Do what he says. Do what he says. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I said? So, he's talking about what somebody has in them, what's inside is coming out into their mouth. Then he says, look, why do you call me Lord and you're not doing what I said? Understand this. See, he started off talking about words coming out of mouth. You're going to follow your words. Mm-hmm. See, you can make a nice little confession, Jesus is Lord, but what's really you love in your heart is what you're going to be saying, and that's what you will follow. That's what you'll do. You'll do those things. You'll do those. Now, this is good. You need to understand. You know, learn how to put this thing right. If you want to learn to act in a direction, get into your heart the right direction and keep saying it. You know what? Next time thing you know it, you're going to find yourself doing it. That's how you learn to do it. See, everybody tries to do it from the natural. They try to just go naturally do it. But their heart's not in it. Get your heart in it. Then begin to say it with your mouth and say it with your mouth. And you won't fight to go do it. You'll just go do it. Because you've set the direction to move in that direction. You just set yourself to do that. You will. You'll find yourself doing it. It's not hard to do when you're in agreement with your heart and mouth. It's not hard to do. It's very hard to do if it isn't. You don't have it in your heart and in your mouth. It's very hard to do. And that's why getting everything moving, start with first. First, get into your heart. Get what you want. If there's things and you're not sure about believing, get the Word of God till you get it into your heart. Hallelujah. And you have that inside of you. Then be saying that. Start to say that. Start to say that the direction you want to go or what you're doing. Start to say that. You're going to find your actions are going to start corresponding to that. It will. So, but always set the principle first. People are usually trying to do something, then they're trying to believe it, and then they're trying to make a confession, they're trying to do all these things. They have no order to what they do. But we find here, Jesus gives order to how this works. And this is what I found out a long time ago. Once you set yourself, get it into your heart. And that thing, I tell you, once it's a treasure in your heart, it's hard not to say it. That's right, it's hard not to say it. Say, hey, this is it. And when you say it, you're going to find yourself doing it. That's what you're going to find. You're going to start walking that direction. Yeah. Hallelujah. So it's really easy, but we turn that on the opposite side. It's the same way. Get the wrong thing in your heart. You'll end up saying it, and then you'll say it, you'll end up doing the wrong thing. It's just the principle of the kingdom. So we just decide which way we want to do it. Hallelujah. So set yourself. You can have victory in ever what area you want in doing this is beginning to practice practices. So Jesus says this, verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He said, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. See, I've heard many people say this, and they used to do this, and they sing songs talking about, you know, well, yeah, we're on the rock, Jesus Christ. That's not what he was talking about here. Here the rock is doing the word. This is not, you can believe on Jesus and you just do constantly fail. This, he's telling you how to succeed. Our success is based on the doing of the word. Acting on the word of God, that is where our success lies. And Jesus said, when you hear his sayings, you gotta do them. When you hear them, you gotta do them. He didn't say, if you heard what I say, it'll be all right. You gotta do it. And so understand the success is in the doing. Success is in the doing. It's taking the things that we believe and say and then acting upon them. And I tell you what, you're going to find out your faith's going to work every time. It's going to work. I tell you, it can take you through terribly hard things that you would come along and want to, what you got to fight. But there's one, if you know what you know what to do. And you just keep walking in that direction. Your faith will sustain you. See, we find here, it isn't a matter of things didn't come along, nothing happens. We find, yeah, flood arose, he said the stream beat venably against that house, but it could not shake that house. Then he goes this, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built the house on the earth without a foundation against which the stream beat venably, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Hearing the word and not doing this, doing it, will bring ruin on you. Now, he's talking about people who hear the word. So we say, see, we need to understand this with believers. Being a believer may not do a thing for you. Accepting Jesus may not do anything for you if you don't do the word. Amen. If you don't do it, it doesn't matter how much you've heard. It's what you've done with what you've heard. That's the success. That's where success lies. And the fact of it is, everybody in life is going to face some real pressure things. There are going, things going to come along that are going to be pressures. That are going to have, everybody's going to face it. But we have Jesus here. If we have heard and we do it, you're not going to be shaken. You'll stand through this thing. You're going to make it through. You're not going to be shaken. When the flood's all over, you're still going to be there. Hallelujah. Well, I learned this over the years. You can go through it, the flood comes along, and you're going to find out there's usually a lot less stand than was when it started. Too many people do not practice the word. They think because they believe. That's enough. Well, I believe in Jesus. Yeah? What are you doing? You ain't doing anything like you believe. See people doing that all the time. Doing this. I see people lots of times in the areas, and I know this, like saying healing. I've had this worked at numbers of times over the years where people had a very serious illness and trying to talk to them. They say, well, you know, they believe the word. You know, they believe, you know, God wants them well. Yeah, this, that. But I watch that they do. They're never acting like they receive their healing. They're always trying to get it. And they're always chasing after it. You know, I remember specifically a woman who had cancer, and she made some statements, and I tried to talk to her. I could see it wasn't going to work. You know, she had, number one, she said, God's not going to let me die because my family needs me. And I thought, oh man, we got to get her off of this thing because she's on the devil's merry-go-round, and I'm going to tell you what, she's going to get thrown off this sucker soon. She can't keep going that way. If that was their prerequisite of being healed, then nobody who mother would ever die. You know, it's like I knew. Well, then she got over on the things, and Well, yes, and I would try to talk to her about believing she receives her healing. Yes, I believe God. You know, she'd say these things, but I could tell it was head knowledge. She's just talking stuff. And then she found out about a new treatment. Something. She went to California to try oxygen treatments or something like that. And I said, I knew the thing of this. She has never, and because she never did answer me, I just said, well, did God tell you to go do that? See, you just can't go around chasing stuff. She had the idea. See, I knew she wasn't at the place she ever believed she received it. She's trying to get her healing. She went and did that. Then that didn't work. And then she tried something. She's always trying things. She's looking at the natural. She was not looking at anything spiritual. She's looking at everything natural. Because I'm a mama, naturally. God's gonna heal me and all that stuff. And I saw what was going on. And I knew she was gonna die. I knew the whole time. But I came to the point, I realized, I couldn't talk about it anymore to her. And when I'd go visit her, I'd just be nice and talk. But I knew I ain't going to do any good to talk about it. She ain't listening. She has her ideas. See, she filled her heart with stuff. She can't quit talking. And she is following what's in her heart. And what's in her heart ain't what God put there. God wanted to put healing in her heart. She never let healing in her heart. She never allowed healing in her heart. All she was looking for healing. That was in her heart. She's going to do this and she's going to do that and this and the other thing. She's going to, you know, and I've had numbers of occasions of those kinds of things over the years. And I've seen that. I've sat and I've watched with people. Is what happens is people come along and never think much about stuff till the storm comes. Most people live like they ain't going to ever have a storm. And when the storm comes, it's usually too late. It is usually too late. And the big storm comes, if you haven't prepared beforehand, when that storm comes, you're trying to get something into you when the waves are washing over you and the stuff is going on. And it's very difficult to do. I'm going to tell you, you want to have something strong in you for when the waves come and start washing over the boat. You want to already have something inside of you. You already need to be saying the right things. You already need to be doing that. It's hard. You can't keep your head above water and you're trying to do things what you call faith. It's very difficult. That's why, as I say, in good times, you prepare yourself in good times. You don't prepare yourself. That's why the United States has trouble so much. Because we're a country, even with our government, it's always wait till a problem happens and try to come up with a fix. You know, we came down, here we're a country, you have all this money and all this stuff. They come, a pandemic starts, and we're like a third world country. In fact, there's third world countries did better at this than we did. We're like a third world, and we think we're so smart and so intelligent and everything else. We're as dumb as a stick. We don't realize. We have all these resources, but why? Wrong hearts. People full of themselves, full of their ideas, full of their, no vision for the future. No vision for the future. Everything is pleasure right now. Have fun right now. And see, all people did was ever had a good time, and boy, 2000 came, and the door of good time stopped, and you'd have thought they dropped an atomic bomb on our nation, and people still had their mouths full of food and everything else. But oh, as we're all going under, this is terrible. It's ridiculous. It is. It's like a bunch of little children. You know what's sad to me it is? We're in big trouble. Because if I can see this, we're in big trouble. Because I ain't that bright. So we're in trouble, this nation, with bright people. We ain't got many. We don't put out many bright people. It's getting the right thing in your heart. There's one thing, as I learned through this thing, is you get the right thing in your heart. There's one thing, as I have not quit laughing through this whole time. I'm having a good time. People are doing all this stuff and going crazy. I ain't getting on the boat. what they're talking about and what they're doing ain't that serious to begin with. They don't see what is serious. They don't see the spiritual condition of the nation. They don't see what it is at all. It's just going to be we're naturally going to fix things. And no, you're not. It's not going to happen. You know, we're just going to vote the right person in office and it's all going to get better. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Oh, my. It may be true that there was evolution, because I think we have a lot of monkeys. I think we got a lot of monkeys. Then again, I don't want to put the monkeys down like that. There, I think there's more intelligence. Oh, my. So we have Jesus sets a principle here that really, it's a principle of either there's a blessing or curse. You're going to either bless yourself or curse yourself. But you've got to see this. It's in our hands. It's not in God's hands. Do you see that? Yep. Not God's hands. Whether we're blessed or not. What Jesus is telling us here is listen to my words. Listen to what I say and then do that. Believe that. Get that in your heart and then act upon those things that I say. It'll bless your life. That'll work. See, and it's a very simple principle. It's number one, if I can figure out to do it, it has to be simple. I mean, it can't be complicated. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this, one of the visions he had. He said, if anybody teaches anything that's really complicated, he said, I never said it. See, these are simple things that Jesus said are very, see, I can see this and say, hey, man, I could do that. They're real easy to follow. Make him Lord. Listen to what he says and do it and you're blessed. Wow. Hey, ding, I got it. And some of the ones I think sometimes the principles are so simple that is people, you know, people make things more complicated. And the thing that I enjoy about the word is because of the simplicity of it, because I can do it. And you can do it also. But it's important for us to understand this, about dealing with this. If Jesus set this thing, in other words, a person starts off is a thing. When calamity starts, it's because people are treasuring wrong things and they begin to speak those things. They treasure wrong things and they speak wrong. That starts on the road to calamity. It's one of the things that you want to do as a Christian. Many times I find this out with Christians. Christians have right things in their heart, but they're walking around and talking what they see. They're not talking what's in their heart. They have the right thing in their heart. They have a right thing they're believing, but that's not what they're saying. They're talking what they see. So you want to do that. You want to follow your heart. Follow what's in your heart. And so, always do that, because why? That is going to lead to your doing. That's going to lead to your doing. Following what's in your heart. There's one thing, you know, that you and I have, we're believers. We have the Holy Spirit in us. I mean, in our hearts, we have the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's, other thing, Jesus is making these statements to people who are not born again. He hasn't died on the cross and rose from the dead. If those principles can stand, then how should they work for us? Wow. That'll work phenomenally for us. So, hallelujah. But, you know, as you get the word in you. As James wrote in James, the first chapter, which we're going to read here. And James, the first chapter, where he says, James wrote this, the first chapter, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So James is saying the same thing Jesus said. Verse 22 of James 1 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Did he say the devil deceives you? No, you're self-deceived. If you heard what the word says, if you're the hearer of the word, then you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do it. He says, if For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. He hears it. He's a hearer of the word, but he's not a doer. Why? He hears that the word says he's not saying it. So when he looks in the mirror, all he sees is natural. The doer of the word is a guy who looks in the mirror of the word, and he's saying what the word says. His outcome will be from the mirror of the word. Your outcome becomes from the mirror. What the mirror of the word has reflected back to you, what you have been saying is what's going to come to pass. You're going to have the word come to pass in your life. The guy who doesn't do it, he has not been saying it. He heard what the word says, but he hasn't been speaking. He's not following that. He's not doing that. He's a forgetful. He's forgetful. It goes on to say, but immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. See, what's in your heart, you're saying with your mouth, then you go do it. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. So really, James is saying the same thing Jesus said, just in a little different way, but it's the same thing. It's the same principle. Yep. Praise God, the word don't change. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Just keep doing what the word says. James also said in James 4:17, James said, therefore to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. See, this is an important thing. When somebody knows, they have heard, they know what to do, and they don't do it. It is a sin for us not to do what we know to do. It's a sin. It's a sin to know to do. See, I've learned over the years, you know, on these things, I've had people come and say, well, you know, is it okay to do such and such because so-and-so is doing this, or this person, they're doing that. And I always say to them, I'll say, why would you be asking me if you felt all right about doing that? What would you be asking me for? See, they already know in themselves they shouldn't be doing it, but they see other people. I am justified in other people's doings. So if other people are doing it, therefore it's okay. It's one of these Randall Greer said, and I agree with him on it. He said, if you look at the direction 80% of Christians go and you go the opposite direction, he said, by default, you'll be following God. There's a lot of truth to that. But we're not following. Follow your heart, what's in your heart. Follow your heart. Because if you don't, it's a sin. It's a sin to go against our own heart. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done that. You know, people don't realize that's the most dangerous things that you do. That's what will cause you the most trouble and open the door to the devil in your life, is going against your own heart. See, many people, they look at outward things. They think just an outward thing, that there's the biggie. The biggie is when you know in your heart to do good and don't do it. When you're in that area of willful sin, that's the problem place. Mm-hmm. The willful sin. Knowing in your heart you shouldn't be doing something, that opens the door to the devil. Many times, see, people don't realize that disaster comes and they don't know how it happened. That's right. And they don't realize they have set things in motion over time, disobeying their own heart. You can't disobey your own heart and stop the devil. He won't listen to you. You can command and say all you want. You see, but you can't go against that. That's why if anything we want to repent and turn from is the sins, willful sinning. Willful sinning, you want to turn from that. Knowing to do good and not doing it. See, you know, it's interesting in doing that because, see, everybody, you don't always know what a person knows in their own heart. One of the really interesting things is is another story that I heard Kenneth Hagin tell was really a good one. It's a good example. Things that I learned from about this areas of the heart and its operation. He's talking about he was in a church. He was ministering to people, and a guy came up, and he had all this trouble with stomach ulcers. And Brother Hagin had laid hands on him, and nothing had happened, and he had laid hands on other people. Other people were healed and stuff, and nothing happened. And he said, this man, he said he saw him, and he said, when he went and sat down and he looked and he saw this man, and he said he had a vision, and he saw this man, he said he saw him, in those years back there, they were down in Texas. This was years before air conditioning, and people used to call summer porches, but lots of times they were screened in areas and stuff, and in the summertime people would sleep in those porches because it gets so hot inside the houses, and they'd sleep on the porches. And said he saw this man was laying out on a porch, you know, on a bed. And said he couldn't sleep. He was rolling around. And he called the man up and he talked to him. He said, what he saw. He said, what I saw though wasn't, he said, concerning your ulcers. He said, now your ulcers, you've had a lot of trouble with those. But he said, that isn't what's bothering you. He said, you were rolling around because your conscience is bothering you. He said, because God's been dealing with you about tithing and you won't do it. And he said, you won't get healed till you deal with that. See, he's been in sin. See, he knows the truth, and he won't do it. Now, this is an interesting thing. See, some people don't realize. Sometimes there's people, they can't get healed because God's telling them to do something, and they won't do it. They think they're just going to go believe God and be healed. And you can get people lay hands on you to rub the hair off your head. It ain't going to work. It don't matter. God's dealing with you with something. Get that corrected. Get that one corrected. But God was dealing. But here's one of the things that Kenneth Hagin said. Now, I was a young Christian when I heard this, and it really helped me a lot because he said, now, he said, I'm sure that in this building there's other people got healed. He said, they didn't tithe, but he said they weren't in the same spiritual condition or place that man was in. See, they didn't have a revelation of that. So see, God is dealing with an individual from where they are. God doesn't deal with people from where you are. Where they are. Because we don't always know where a person's at spiritually. And that helped me. He said, now that guy, he said, God dealt with him because he said, I knew this. God's been dealing with this guy for years. This was in depression days, and this guy had a job, and he's earning a lot more money than most of the people do around. Like, any four or five people ain't earning as much money as he does, and he wouldn't tithe. So God was dealing with that individual about that. God was dealing with him. So he had a blessed life. But you know what? He got right. He told Kenneth, he said, you're exactly right. He said, I'm going to start tithing. He said, I'm going to start doing that right away. He said, you're right. He said, God was dealing with me I'm going to do it. And he said, I always like this because he said, God will heal you on credit. He said, he healed him that night before he ever gave any money. He healed him. Why? Because the guy set himself in his heart to do right. See, God judged by the heart. See, God knew when his heart was set straight. God knew that. See, people need to know that. See, this is one of the things that I really think we have a lot of trouble in Christianity is most Christians don't know their own heart. They don't know where they stand. They don't know if they're in, out, or up, or down. They don't learn to listen to the inside concern themselves. We live too much by the outside, listening to things going on the outside. Watching on the outside of what's going on is not listening on the inside. See, you got to know where you stand. You got to know where you stand. See, if that guy would have really listened, if he were listening to God, he wouldn't need Kenneth Hagin to have a vision to see. He wouldn't need all of that stuff God brought along because somebody ain't paying attention. And so we need to understand about yourself where you stand spiritually. Sometimes getting on. See, I've seen this over the years. I know the people having problems. Sometimes I don't know exactly what's wrong, but I just know this. I know this with people who are dealing with healing. You can never tell the purpose. You can sit around and think about things all you want about who you think spiritual, who knows what, and you don't know. There's sometimes I just know with certain people, they have certain medical problems, and I just know there's something wrong. They got to get straightened out before that's going to get taken care of. Now, I may not know what it is, but I just know it. I just know it. And you know that sometimes. Well, see, that individual will be doing all kind of things, trying to believe in God they're healed. But it ain't going to move till they ever, what that is, get straightened out. That'll never happen. See, they don't know themselves. And that's bad. You got to find out about what's holding you. If something ain't working, you need to find out what's going on. You know, God may not give a vision or a dream. I've buried people God didn't give visions and dreams for. I knew they were going to die. They weren't hooked up to where they needed to be. And God never did nothing about it. And see, you gotta, you know, people need to listen, hear, and do. God said a hear and do thing. Hey, he said it works. The guy that heard and did, it worked every time. It works. And so that's what we want to do. But know yourself. You know, in the book of Romans talks about a man. He said this concerning the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in Romans talks about the Spirit of God knows. It's in Corinthians. The Spirit of God knows the things of God, just like the spirit of a man knows the things of a man. You should know yourself. You should know where you're at spiritually. You should know what your treasures are and what you should know that. You should know whether you should be able to tell and understand whether you're in faith to take a hold of something or not. You have to know that. If you don't, you can sit and play the faith game all you want. You have to know that you've got things you got to. Am I? You arrive at a place. I know I'm ready to take a hold of that. And there's nothing wrong with it. Too many people don't prepare. What happens if something comes along? They immediately want to jump and give a prayer and change it. Sometimes they're not ready to do that. But sometimes that's the worst thing you can do is jump into that thing with both feet and lie to yourself about faith and you ain't in it. And then convince yourself you're in faith when you're not. Instead of stopping and saying, hey, I ain't moving. I've learned over time, there's times I've let things go for quite a bit of time till I was ready to step in. Till I knew inside, I'm ready to set that. You have to know that. Now, I was fortunate I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. You know, Kenneth Hagin talked about, now he talked about with his family in prayer. He would said, like even with his kids, if something came up, he didn't just pray right away as his kid was sick. He used to spend most of the night meditating on the Word. He'd go to bed and he would meditate on the Word on healing. Now, Kenneth Hagin, meditating on the Word and healing. Now, who'd ever think? You know, we're so spiritual, we don't need to do that. We know two scriptures. Anyhow, he would sleep for a couple hours and he'd wake up and he'd meditate for another couple hours. And he would do that till the next day. He wouldn't pray till I was ready to pray. He said, I was ready to make that thing change. That's why things don't change, because there's never enough faith force to make anything a change. People have 2 pounds of faith trying to move a 100-pound object, and it ain't going to happen. It's getting yourself ready. We want things instantaneous. Everything has to be instantaneous. I found this out. If you have enough faith, there's a lot of things you can make instantaneous. But you're going to have to wait till you get enough faith to make it instantaneous when you release your faith. Your faith begins to move that thing right away. See, I found out over time of how to do things from healing to how to bring it to pass quickly. And you don't bring it to pass quickly jumping into it with just a little bit of faith on thing. You set yourself till you're ready to move against that. Till you're ready. We have to learn that's where faith and patience inherits the promise. Sometimes it's waiting till you're ready to do something. And you want to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you don't have to prove anything to anybody else. You know, believe God and get whatever it is you want, dear Lord. Uh-huh. Have it. See, it's one thing about it. If you follow these principles, is one thing is you will have. You'll learn, your faith will develop, and the next time you'll be able to step out quicker into things. The next time it'll move you up. But if you keep playing games and it's a hard time at everything you do, you need to realize that something's wrong. It shouldn't be this fight all the time. Not everything should be a fight. I mean, it's like to me, a headache ain't even a 2-second fight anymore. That ain't even worth even talking about. If a headache would want to come on me, I just, we don't allow that. That'll have to go. Amen. I remember the days I used to fight that when I first started off, learning to walk by faith. I mean, a headache, I'd spend a half a day trying to get rid of a headache. And once I learned faith-wise and how it works, man, boy, I didn't have that anymore. I can't even tell you. I don't even know I don't know. Maybe a headache back in the early 80s might be the last time I had one of those. I don't. We just don't have those. We just don't allow. Something like that comes in. We ain't going there. That ain't mine. Whoever wants that can have it. But we don't have them. Hallelujah. Praise God. But setting yourself is learning. But, you know, it didn't happen. Just by itself, it took time. It took time of learning and pushing against faith, of learning how it operates and what to do. Amen. And, praise God, but we found out it works. And then you have other things that some things may be seem to be a great mountain to you. To another person, ain't much of a mountain, but to you it is. And you're going to find there's other things in your life that ain't much of a mountain at all. It seems like you can do it, but somebody else fights like crazy at it. And that's what we find out about ourselves. You know, that's why you don't compare yourself with somebody else. See, we don't compare ourselves faith-wise. Everybody has places that they're strong in faith and have places they're weak in faith. You know, it's like me, I started off, God dealt with a lot with healing. I mean, healing became a simple thing, just became really easy. But it was more as a struggle for me in the areas of finances. That was more of a struggle. And learning to get a hold of that and take a hold of that. Say, why? I don't know. But it was. So I just didn't try to sit around and figure out what that was. I just stay in with the Word. Just keep doing the Word and acting on the Word. Putting it to work. Standing and believing God. Always putting my faith out concerning areas of money. And I always looked for things to do where I could put out. I would put myself in positions where I would need money. See, most people have hard trouble there. They avoid things where they need money. No, you're never going to learn a thing. No, I would jump in the middle of where we would go do something or take a vacation. It would cost us pretty much money. So that's what you go do. See, I need to train myself in money, how to bring money in. So I ain't going to learn how to bring money in not doing things that I don't need money for. So when I learn over time, this is what you got to do in life, is you go along, you want to believe God for money. You don't come to a place in life that you're satisfied. If you're satisfied where you're at, that's all you're going to ever have. You're always going to have to put yourself in a position where you're going to need more. Yep. So that's what you do. And then you believe God. And He brings it in, and you know what happens? Hey, we can go for more of that. More of that. We can do for more. And then opportunities will come along to you when you didn't even want them. And you're going to need money. But if you haven't done that other, it's going to be difficult. And you're going to sit there, boy, this is really a hard thing. I'm just glad I live in the days now that don't matter anymore. But that used to be a tough spot. But it's not anymore. That's not a tough spot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, you can't sit around and talk about what other people are talking about with our economy now and all that kind of stuff. You can't do that. There's trillions of dollars floating around. Amen. People got more money than you can shake a stick at. Yep. There is more money out here than a little bit. There ain't nothing hurting. It's just whose hands it's in. And if you don't know how to get it in your hands, that's your fault. The Bible tells us how to. You see, there's no shortage of money. You know, I was just last night, I watched a thing on TV, the last Mecum auction, where they're selling his cars off. Now, they were paying up to 10 times more for cars than they paid last year. Now, how bad does the economy get? There's cars they're paying $3 million for that they couldn't even get $1 million for the year before. There's tons of money. And there's people walking around with tons of money. They sold over $1 billion worth of cars. Over $1 billion. And there wasn't a lot of cars. People paid huge prices. There's loads of money out here. You just keep listening to Fox News, and you just keep listening to Newsmax, and you keep listening to these guys. You keep telling you, and you can listen to what the president says or nothing. He wouldn't know. That poor guy don't know anyhow. He wouldn't. He don't even know how much money he has in his wallet. that poor guy, I feel bad for him. But folks, you can't listen to that. You can't. You're going to have to decide. Is God going to be God, or does He quit because whatever they're doing? We have to decide these things, you know. See, we have to know, am I supposed to tighten my wallet? Don't do things. We have to decide. You have to decide what you're supposed to do. What are you going to put in your heart? Got to watch what you listen to, putting it in your heart. You got to be very careful about these things. There's a lot of things said that aren't good. In 1 Peter 3:10, I want to read you some scripture. It says, in starting verse 10 through 12, it says, in 1 Peter 3, it says, "He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to those, to their prayers. For the face of the Lord is against those who are evil." See, he's talking about who's righteous and who's evil. And you know what it is? It's who's talking and doing. Who's talking and doing? What's the talking and doing we have going on? That's who's either righteous or evil, whoever's good or evil. See, we need that. Understand, there's so much talking stuff going on. It's just producing evil and producing evil. You know, I think about, you know, with the war in Ukraine. I mean, I know that loads of these people and these, you know, politicians and think are doing good in things they're saying. They need to be cautious in the use of their mouth of what they're saying. They need to be cautious. They're saying things that'll destroy. They're saying things just going to cause more problems. They're saying things. And they need to be very careful about what they do. You know, our president, I mean, things that he's saying. A president of a country needs to watch what he says about other people, another leader. Because worldwide, you know, you take a guy like Putin and you make him look bad, he might drop a bomb on your house you'd have never thought would show up. See, we got people that, you know, today nobody shuts up like with Donald Trump. They don't shut up. They don't shut up. They, you know, it isn't a matter of whether you're right, but you better watch the way your mouth goes and what you say. You set things in motion, cause a lot of destruction. And so, but the face of the Lord, now this is New Testament. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's what it says. Well, we find out what evil was. Well, it wasn't just lying and stealing and cheating. People saying the wrong things, saying stuff. You know, people talking death. People talking sickness. That's evil. Talking, saying those things. Saying all kinds of things that are destructive. James said this in James 2:12. He said, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." Talk like you're going to be judged by the law of liberty. You don't want to be judged by the law. That one you know, the law of liberty. So talk like you're going to be judged by the law of liberty. Now when you think of liberty, we should be seeing words that bring freedom.
Yeah.
Words that bring life.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Especially learn to speak, you know, concerning yourself and saying them. Speak things of life. Hallelujah. In Romans 2:13 makes this statement, "For not the hearer of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." So we see under the law the same principle. The same principle. See, the principles of the kingdom never change. You can't change that principle under that covenant and have a different under this one. Because why? It's the same. It is a foundational principle of how the kingdom works. It's a foundational principle. And in a way, we could say it. It is a legal way that it operates. And if you follow God's law, the law of liberty, you'll be blessed. That's a guarantee by God. You'll be blessed. In 1 John 3:7, this is the last scripture I'll read. "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." You practice what you're doing. See the power of doing? We've lost that. See, but this goes back at least 10 years ago now. When the Lord had reminded me concerning Kenneth Hagin, when the Lord dealt with Kenneth Hagin on the teaching of faith, and he said he had called him to teach his people faith, and the Lord showed him from the from Mark 11:23, and talked about him, how many times it says the word dealing with say in there, about saying. And the Lord said at that time, he said, "My people are not missing it from the believing standpoint, they're missing it from the saying standpoint." What they were saying. Well, we had a lot of teaching that came out during in the 60s and into the 70s and stuff. People began to teach on that area about saying faith in 70 and into the 80s. It was back in the late 90s, the Lord spoke to me one day about it, and on the areas, he kept dealing with me on doing the word, doer. And he talked to me, because see, that's the way he had raised me up, about doing, acting on the word. Act on, act like the word's true. You know, if you believe you receive your healing, act like you got something. Quit acting like you don't have something. Look like you're, quit acting like you're waiting to get something. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. He started to teach me to do that. And he said this to me. He said, back when I taught Kenneth Hagin and told him, he said, since then they have taught people to speak the word. And he said, today people know to say the word. They know to speak what they believe. But he said, the problem today is the people aren't doers of the word. They don't do it. They believe it, they say it, but they don't act like it's true. He said, you need to teach people to start doing the word. That's why when I teach on the airs, and you've noticed from illustrations, I always use illustrations in healing of what I did when I said I believed. The things I did. That's what I'll tell you what. I can tell you, my doing has been my success in the areas of healing. It's been my doing. Because my doing proved out what I was believing and saying. What I was believing and saying would have not amounted to anything if I wouldn't have done the doing. It wouldn't have produced a thing. And you'll notice all about how I'm always emphasizing about what I did. Yeah. The things I did. I'm always emphasizing that. What I did. I'm going to tell you what. Doing's the power of faith. Amen. Doing is the power of faith. And sometimes, from a natural standpoint, it seems like you're crazy. It seems like you're just running odd against everything. It doesn't make any sense. You're doing something. You're, you know, acting in a way. See, now, understand, your doing is acting differently than what you see around you. You're doing something. What you see around you, it's like with me. I mean, I've had, over the years, I've had Christians tell me, you know, that, you know, I need to, you know, Don't get out there doing things. You get out there a little too far and not doing things. You get out there, you do things. And see what they're telling. To them, see, it is far. To me, it ain't far at all. I mean, it ain't thought far. You get into you believing. If you believe you have something and you ain't acting like it, I doubt very much if you believe you have it. I don't. You ain't gonna convince me you believe you got it. When I believe I have something, I can't help but act like I got something. I don't care how it looks on the outside. I have to do things that act like I got something. Hallelujah. See, if I believe I've received something, thank God, hallelujah, I'm just going to act like I got it. Glory to God. I'm going to sit and thank God for giving to me. I'm going to sit and praise Him and thanks, Lord God. I'm so glad you healed me. I'm so glad I'm not sick anymore. And my body's saying, you stupid idiot, what are you talking about? See, what you see. But see, most people, all they do is talk what they see. Well, if you, yeah, but I'm still feeling bad. I don't understand. I'm still feeling bad. Yeah, and you keep running your mouth and doing what you're doing, it'll stay. It'll never get. No, you thank God. Hallelujah. I just thanking God that I'm well, and there was no sign at all that I got anything more. I've had already where I got worse when I started acting on faith. I actually started feeling worse than I did before. But you know what? I just know in my heart. I know the treasure in my heart. If I will keep my mouth in a direction and keep acting like it's true, it's going to happen. It has to. Amen. If it don't, God's a liar. People don't realize how evil it is when they're actually treating God like He's a liar. I believe the word, but I'm going to act like it's true. That's evil. That's treating God like He's a liar. His word's no good. It ain't going to produce. Hallelujah, it's going to produce. It's going to do. Glory to God, the doer of the word is blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to be doers of the word. That's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. There ain't any other way to go at it. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you tonight. Lord God, I am just so thankful for your word. It is a delight. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you it's working in us mightily. Father God, you've laid out before us what to do. And Lord God, I want to thank you. We're well able to do it. Hallelujah. We can do the word. You have designed it that men can walk in it. And I'm thank you, God. We don't have to be geniuses. Lord Jesus, you just laid it out so simple for us to understand and comprehend. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you, Father, that the words work mightily in us. Father God, we're going to definitely go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Lord God, Father, I want to thank you, Father, in these days and time. Lord God, Father, I think so many people that are going through so much things in depression, but Lord God, all I can think of is joy. Hallelujah. Because we have wonderful opportunity to prove the word works, and it does work. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you. It's working mightily for us. Father God, hallelujah. Father, you put so many wonderful and great things in us. Father God, Father, there's so much within our hearts. And Lord God, our hearts are full of good things. Hallelujah. And Father God, we're going to bring those good things to pass. We're going to talk them, and then we're going to do them. Hallelujah. And Father God, those wonderful things are going to manifest, not just for our blessing, but also for the blessing of others, Father, that people can see, hallelujah, that the Word of God works in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.